Hello everybody, I'm Damian Radulović and this is Damian on the Go podcast. I'm a guy who sends a lot of voice messages and my friends often tell me that I should start a podcast. But my main excuse was that I'm constantly outside on the go and that I don't have time to sit in a quiet room and record a podcast. But then it came to my mind that if they are listening to my voice messages, then people will listen to my podcast. And it would even add a certain uniqueness and charm to it. So this is it. Damian on the go. Welcome to the second episode of Damian on the go. So, today's topic will be Chetnik or Chetnici. So, in a group chat with of my friends, started the topic about Chetnici. So now I'll talk about them mainly to educate my friends. So, and if there's someone else listening to this who might find this interesting, then great. So, Chetnici were the regular military of the Kingdom of Yugoslavia, but they are a bit older than that. You know, they're most known during the World War II. But as I said, they were the regular military of the Kingdom of Yugoslavia, so even before World War II they were active regular military. Their roots are actually in the soldiers, guerrilla, yeah. Their roots are basically the Serbian guerrilla soldiers who fought against the Ottoman Turks, who fought for liberation of Serbian lands from the Turks. So they are the root of this military, of Chetnici. The word itself, Chetnik, it comes from Cheta, the military unit. And there is also an expression in Serbia, Chetujemo. It means I'm going to Chetujem, idem da Chetujem. It means I'm going to fight together with my comrades against our enemy. So, and from that comes Chetnici, or one soldier is a Chetnik. So, they were the regular army of the Kingdom of Yugoslavia, also of the Kingdom of Serbs, Croats and Slovenes before that, and Kingdom of Serbia even before that. They fought in the Balkan Wars, in the World War I, and in the World War II also. Now let's talk about Chetnici during the World War II. Well, let's firstly talk about Karađorđević royal family, because Chetnici were the royal military and their destiny was very tied to the destiny of the royal family. So, King Aleksandar I Karađorđević was assassinated in Marseille in France, and since his son, King Peter II, was too young to be a king, to be a ruler, a government was made, and Prince Paul the king's cousin was the head of the government, and this government ruled Serbia and waited for his Royal Highness King Peter II to be adult enough to be able to rule the country. And then what happened was Hitler, you know, the National Socialist Germany rose to power, and the international Jews started provoking National Socialist Germany through various bans of trade and so on, and through manipulated Polish people to commit a genocide over Germans and so on and so on, and basically World War II started. And when World War II started, German officials came to Serbia and offered an pact, not a military pact, but mainly pact of non-aggression. So they said to the Kingdom of Yugoslavia that they will ensure the full territorial integrity and sovereignty of the Kingdom of Yugoslavia. They will even help defend the Kingdom of Yugoslavia if anyone tries to attack it because of this pact. They do not need soldiers, they do not need anything from the Kingdom of Yugoslavia. All they need is just a non-aggression pact and allowance for German trains to go through the Kingdom of Yugoslavia. And that was all. Nothing else. Only that. And the government of Prince Paul accepted that pact. But what happened then is that Jews in Serbia, communists of Yugoslavia, Freemasons, and even Ustaše, who later supposedly supported the Germans but actually worked for the British, but that's completely another story. They basically overthrew the government of Prince Paul and have basically set the young king Peter II to the throne and basically set a new government which declared war to Germany and broke the pact. And then Germany destroyed the military of Yugoslavia in like a few days because Yugoslavia, especially Serbs, were already broken and haven't yet regenerated from the World War I, because in World War I over 65% of Serbian, when I say Serbian I mean all Serbs in Bosnia, Croatia, Serbia, Montenegro, Macedonia and so on, so all 65% of Serbian male population, over 65% of Serbian male population was dead, died in the World War I. And so World War II started basically 20 years ago, and Kingdom of Yugoslavia wasn't ready for a war. You know, Kingdom of Yugoslavia declaring war to Germany, it was like if I attacked a tank with a stick. So it's literally that, you know, attacking a tank with a stick. So, and in a few days, Kingdom of Yugoslavia was conquered and was divided. So Croats who basically supported, you know, that Kingdom of Yugoslavia should declare war, they themselves stood on Germany's side. But as I said, the leader of independent state of Croatia was a British spy, his wife was a Jewish, and the whole head of the independent state of Croatia were Jews. You know, Jews were his chiefs of secret police, of surveillance agency, of generals, around 30 generals in the military of independent state of Croatia were Jews. Jews were on the head of the death camps and so on. So they were not real supporters of Germany. They just used this historical event to continue with their century-long plan of ethnically cleansing Serbs from Croatia. And they used this opportunity and stood on Germany's side, even though they weren't real supporters of Germany. And so independent state of Croatia, they were kinda under Italian supervision, but they were mainly independent. They got whole today's Croatia and Bosnia. Austria got Slovenia. Italia mainly got Istria and Dalmatia, but it was still ruled by the independent state of Croatia. Italia also got Montenegro and Kosovo and Albania. And Germany controlled East Serbian lands, also known as Serbia. And so Četnici were the military that declared war to Germany, and they fought against Germany and lost it. And now they were in the woods hiding from the Germans, because Germans occupied whole Serbia, whole East Serbian lands to be more precise. Vojvodina, Hungary got control of Vojvodina, so basically that was just the region of from Belgrade to Kosovo and Macedonia. Basically that was the whole Serbia at the time, because everything else was taken by others. Even Bulgaria got a part of East Serbia also. And so Četnici were hiding in the forest and so on. And the king, Peter II, he was evacuated together with the government of Freemasons, of the scum of our nation. They got evacuated to London. And from there, they ruled with the royal military. And so basically, British agents, British government ruled with Serbian Četnik
Chetniks' role military. And they were acting according to the orders that they were receiving from London. And Germans, knowing that there is a lot of communists among Serbs, unfortunately, and they also knew about this royal military and so on, and they also knew about government of King Paul, and that most regular Serbs are just like, okay, you know, Germany occupied, okay, we will not try to rebel or anything, because we're kinda used to occupations and so on through history, so, you know, just regular, you know, villagers and merchants and, you know, who likes war? I mean, they were just like, okay, we are occupied, but as long as they are okay with us, we'll be okay with them. And so Germans knew that they could get a lot of supporters among the Serbs, and so Germans made a rule: if one German soldier is killed in Serbia, for that one dead German soldier, 100 of Serbian civilians, or just Serbs, would get executed. And for one wounded German soldier, 50 Serbs would get executed. And the main strategy behind this was, who in the right mind would attack Germans with this rule in power? Who in the right mind would kill a German when he knows that one murder would cause deaths of 100 Serbs? And when you think about this logically, you know, even if there is a huge hope of winning the war or whatever, which already was, because Serbia was already conquered and occupied, but even if there was some hope of winning the war, who in their right mind would kill any German when you know that they are going to kill 100 Serbs for that one German? You are not doing anything with killing one German. And if you kill 200 Germans, then then just multiply it with 100 and see how many Serbs would get killed. So this insanely high number was there because Germans thought that who in the right mind is going to kill Germans, because by killing Germans you are killing even more of your people. But unfortunately, Chetniki were following British orders blindly. And so sometimes they cooperated with Germans. They would get closer to Germans and try to actually think, you know, logically. But whenever that happened, they would receive an order from London, and it would say that we are sending troops to Yugoslavia, attack now, and you know, the troops are coming, we will bomb their position and so on, we will support you. And then Chetniki go and attack Germans, and no British support would come. And then Germans would go and kill 100 Serbs for each dead German soldier, and 50 Serbs for each wounded German soldier. And Chetnitsy were so much manipulated that they committed the same mistake over and over and over again. They fell to the same trick, to the same British trick they fell. And so, I mean, I cannot understand how people could get so manipulated and so stupid, you know. So that's one side of the coin, one side of the Chetnitsy. Those were the Ravna Gora Chetnitsy, the Chetnitsy of Serbia. But not all Chetnitsy were the same. Chetnitsy in Montenegro and Chetnitsy in Bosnia and Croatia. I mean, all Chetnitsy were Serbs, basically, because those who were in the Royal Military, who were not Serbs, they left the Royal Military and joined, you know, some Slovenes stayed in Serbian Royal Military, you know, in Serbia. Others just left Serbia and came back to their home in Slovenia, and in Slovenia the military completely fell apart because nobody wanted to fight against Germans because they knew how weak they are, that they have, that they stand no chance against Germans. Those were wise people, you know. And that's why Slovenia is one of the most developed countries in the Balkans, you know, because they are generally wise people and not fools like us Serbs. Croatians in the Royal Military, they all left the Royal Military and joined the Ustaše, the military of the independent state of Croatia. Muslims in the Royal Military, they either completely left the military, some stayed in Serbia in military, and most have switched to the Hanjar division. It was basically a Muslim division of the Ustaše military. And so basically only Serbs were left. When it comes to Chetnitsy in Serbia, there were also Jews among them. So it was mainly Serbs, but also there were Gypsies and Jews and Muslims and Slovenes. And when it comes to Chetnitsy in Montenegro and Bosnia and Croatia, those were only Serbs. And they did not obey the orders from London, because they realized that they would get manipulated, and instead they fought for whatever interest of Serbian nation is, and as such they have cooperated with Italians and with Germans. So Chetnitsy in Serbia were fighting against Germans, and they were also fighting against communists, and then they were cooperating with communists, fighting together against Germans, while Chetnitsy in Montenegro, Chetnitsy in Croatia and in Bosnia, they cooperated with Germans and with Italians. Mainly fought against communists, but also together with Italians they fought against Croats, because Italians realized that Croats are not really on their side, that they are working for Britain, and so And also Italians saw all the horrific crimes that Croats did over Serbs, the complete genocide and ethnic cleansing of Serbs in Croatia. And that's why Italians supported Serbia, you know, supported Chetniks in Croatia and in Bosnia and in Montenegro, and even fought together with them against Croatia, against Croatians. And that's why relations between Croatia and Italy got really bad. And Croatians started also ethnically cleansing Italians from Istria and parts of Dalmatia, where Italians were there for centuries, literally. And but then Italy got crushed and it capitulated, and we already know what happened with Italy. So those were Chetnici. Chetnici in Serbia. I don't have much respect for them. They were manipulated. Nowadays they are worshipped, literally. But it's because people believe in the mainstream history. And their leader, Draža Mihailović, he realized that he was manipulated by British when it was too late. He realized it when communists captured him. You know, because London was constantly talking about how Britain will help restore monarchy in Yugoslavia and so on. And when Allies won World War II, British gave the communists the power to rule over Yugoslavia. And so basically, you know, Chetnici in Serbia, they were sacrificing their lives to, you know, to fight for the British cause, and then in the end they were just tossed in the toilet and communists rose to power, and then communists hunted down Chetnici, and many Chetnici joined communists. I mean Chetnici in Serbia, many of them joined communists, and those who did not, those who were hardcore monarchists, they were killed. Some ended at the Goli Otok. It was basically Gulag of Yugoslavia, and so on. So, a total waste of lives and energy and time. And Chetnici in Montenegro and Bosnia and Croatia, I have huge respect for them, because they actually thinked with their heads and fought for Serbian cause, fought for Serbian lives. They didn't fight, they haven't fought for Britain, they didn't fought for anything but Serbian lives, only for Serbian lives, only for Serbian interests. And that's why I have huge respect for them. And then when communists rose to power, and when communists took over Yugoslavia, those Chetnici, they went through horror. So Chetnici in Serbia, who were under Draža Mihailović, they were either executed, or they joined, or they ended up on Goli Otok, which is an island, which is basically Gulag of Yugoslavia. But even, you know, that was horrific, definitely. But what Chetnici in Montenegro, Bosnia and Herzegovina and Croatia went through, that was horror. And A few have survived, those who made it to run to Argentina or to some escaped to Germany, some to US and some to Argentina. But those who haven't made it, they were tortured to death. And so to conclude this, basically, you know, a friend said, you know, are there a controversial topic in Serbia? Well, not really. They were a controversial topic during the communist regime, because communist regime was only saying that only communists war struggle and, you know, victories and so on should be talked about, and not any of the Chetnitsi struggle, especially not the Chetnitsi of Montenegro, Croatia and Bosnia and Herzegovina. When the communist regime transformed into a bit softer communism during the government of Slobodan Milošević, and when there was like a project of fake Serbian nationalism, because the communists realized that communism as ideology has lost its strength, its potential to mobilize people. And so they realized that they need to bring back nationalism. But they didn't want identitarian real nationalism, organic nationalism. They wanted to bring something which is more of a civic nationalism, which glorifies Chetnitsi of Draža Mihailović together with communists, and glorifies the monarchy together with communists and so on. So a same person would glorify King Aleksandar I Karađorđević and Josip Broz Tito, the communist dictator, I mean, which is total nonsense. How could you support both? Because they're total opposites, and so on. So they formed this schizophrenic type of nationalism, and that's why most Serbs nowadays are ideologically and politically schizophrenic. And they formed this, and basically they rehabilitated the Chetnitsi of Serbia, because now they needed them as something to fuel this fake nationalism. And right now there is literally a cult of Draža Mihailović. You know, he is looked as some like a greatest person, like greatest Serbian person of history, but he was actually a fool who got manipulated and believed in British lives he believed in it all the way until few minutes before his execution by the communists. And so I personally have no respect for Draža Mihailović. I mean, I respect heroism. I consider them that they were on the wrong side of the World War II. But I respect warriors, I respect soldiers, I respect those who died for their ideals, who died for their nation, even when they are manipulated. So don't get me wrong, I definitely respect that, 100%. and there were many great heroes among them who did many heroic acts. But in the end, it was all waste of human lives, waste of energy, and they could have used that in a much better way. And if they used it in a better way, maybe communists would not take over Yugoslavia, you know. So this is basically it, you know. As I said, I have respect for heroism, for warriors, for soldiers, and especially for those who are just plain soldiers who weren't in the command, who weren't, you know, just regular soldiers who sacrificed their lives for what was told to them that it is true. And I have huge respect for their sacrifices and so on, but I do not have respect for Draža Mihajlović as a leader, and I have 100%, you know, immense respect for Vojvoda, Momčilo Đujić, Kosta Pećanac, Vojvoda Drenović, and all those Četnici who fought in Montenegro, Bosnia, Herzegovina, and Croatia. And this is it for this episode. I hope that I said enough about them, that you have maybe learned something, and this is it for this episode. Follow me, recommend this podcast to your friends and family, and well, I cannot say see ya in the next episode because you don't see me and I don't see you. So, until the next episode, bye.